Say, Holy Spirit,
I have ears that hear,
and they do perceive,
and my heart perceives. You are working on me for your glory. Thank you for hearing ears, eyes that see clearly, and a heart that is willing to receive. Jesus, have your way with me. Amen. I heard loud and clear this morning Luke chapter 4, and he pressed to take you on a journey in the Passion translation of Luke 4. Everybody thinks that Christmas time is supposed to have scriptures about Mary and Joseph and the baby and all that good stuff. And Holy Spirit said, I want you to see the fruit of that birth. Because you see, it was very different. You all know the traditionals about going to Bethlehem and the whole package. This happens to be 30 years later. Okay? And he's already been on the job. And we're going to look at verse 16 because that's where he told me to start. And he's on his way back to his hometown. But in this Passion translation, there is a little twist here and there that changes the outlook. And I believe that this Holy Spirit anointing that we have in the room right now is capable, real to you, because this word is to bring you and I to life. When he came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, he went into the synagogue as he always did on the Sabbath tradition. When Jesus came to the front to read the scripture, he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, healing for the brokenhearted, and new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners, you are set free. I have come to share the message of Jubilee." The Holy Spirit made it very clear that we are in a Jubilee year. Started back in September, Jesus has come to share the message of Jubilee. For the time of God's great acceptance has begun. After he read this, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. Everyone stared at Jesus, wondering what he was about to say. Then he added, "You see, up till now, it's a common reading. But right now, the words that are about to be spoken will change the atmosphere. Today, these scriptures came true in front of you." Everyone was impressed impressed by how well Jesus spoke. In awe of the beautiful words of grace that came from his lips. But they said among themselves, who does he think he is? Isn't he Joseph's son, who grew up here in Nazareth? Jesus said to them, I suppose you'll quote me the proverb, Doctor, go and heal yourself before you try to heal others. And you'll say, work the miracles here in your hometown that we heard you did in Capernaum. So his reputation has already been established in his hometown, even when he wasn't there, because of what he did. But let me tell you, no prophet is welcome or honored in his hometown, in his own hometown. Isn't it true that many widows lived in the land of Israel during the days of the prophet Elijah? When he looked up the heavens for three, he locked up, I'm sorry, the heavens for 3.5 years and brought a devastating famine over all the land. Who brought it? God's Holy Ghost through Elijah. And the words came out of Elijah's mouth. Got it? But he wasn't sent to any of the widows living in that region. Instead, he was sent to a foreign place, to a widow in Zarephath of Zidon. Or have you not considered that the prophet Elisha healed only Naaman, the Syrian, rather than one of the many Jewish lepers living in the land? When everyone present heard Jesus' word, take a deep breath right now. They were so happy. No. They erupted with furious rage. And the footnote says, Jesus' listeners got to the point of his sermon. His statement implied that he would take his miracle ministry to non-Jewish people. Jubilee had come, not only for them, but for those they hated. This infuriated them enough to want to kill Jesus in his hometown. You say, what has that got to do with me? When the anointing is on you and you speak the truth, and the truth prompts you to release a blessing on someone who is a religious person, they will literally, and I've had it happen, with insults. Who do you think you are, Kim Bergeron? You'll never lay hands on me. So what happened? The door was closed. That happened in my hometown and in my own church that I was a part of for many years. So, they were ready to kill him. Why? Because he's doing something good? Absolutely. When, verse 28, everyone present heard Jesus' word, they erupted with furious rage. They mobbed Jesus and threw him out of the city, dragging him to the edge of the cliff on the hill on which the city had been built, ready to hurl him off. But he walked right through the crowd, leaving them all stunned. Jesus went to Capernaum in Galilee and taught the people on the Sabbath day. His teaching stunned and dazed them, for he spoke with penetrating words and great authority. Keep that in mind. Penetrating words and great authority. In the congregation, there was a demonized man, who screamed out with a loud voice, "Go away and leave us alone. We know who you are. You're Jesus of Nazareth, God's Holy One." Now, get a clue. The demons know who he is. His hometown people can't stand him because they know who he is in the natural, but they will not accept him as a man of the Spirit. They will not accept it as a Messiah or an anointed prophet. They want to kill him. Now, I've been there, and I know that it's just a few miles down the road from Nazareth to Capernaum. Just a few miles. So, what do you want with us? Have you come to destroy us already? Notice the demonized man has more than one demon. Because they call themselves us. Keep that in mind. They don't work alone. Immediately the demon hurled the man down on the floor in front of them. Hurry up, call 911, get somebody to give him a needle so that he can be caught. No. Jesus rebuked the demon, "Be quiet and come out of him." And without causing him any harm, the demon came out of him. Great astonishment swept over the people. And they said among themselves, "What kind of a man is this who has such power and authority? With a mere word, he commands demons to come out." Here's the surprise part. And they obey him. Reports about Jesus spread like wildfire throughout every community in the surrounding region. 38. After leaving the synagogue, Jesus went into Simon's house. That's Peter's house. Where Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever. "Hurry up, take 2 Bufferins immediately." No. The disciples begged Jesus to help him. This is something that I had not seen before. Begging Jesus to help her. Jesus stood over her, rebuked the fever, and she was healed. Instantly. Then she got up and began to serve them. Talk about deliverance and fruit. Got it? At sunset, the people brought all those who were sick to Jesus to be healed. Jesus laid hands on them one by one. And he healed them all of different illnesses. Oh. They didn't go to the ER. Jesus laid his hands on them one by one, and he healed them all of different diseases. Take a deep breath right now. Say, "Let me hear, Lord. What you're trying to tell me my future is going to look like." Because demons have had a party. And I am now angry. In my inner man. These things have got to go. They're not going to dominate me. And they will not rule me. And they will not destroy me. Because I have his Spirit in me. Demons also came out of many of them, knowing that Jesus was the Anointed One. The demons shouted while coming out, "You are the Messiah, the Son of El Shaddai." But Jesus rebuked them and commanded them to be silent. Why? He didn't want publicity. He wasn't looking to be lifted up. He was trying to obey what Papa told him to do. Okay? At daybreak the next morning, the crowd came and searched everywhere for him, but Jesus had already left to go to a secluded place. When they finally found him, they held him tightly, begging him to stay with them in Capernaum. But Jesus says, "Don't you know there are other places I must go and offer the hope of God's kingdom?" Offer the hope of God's kingdom. Why is he saying offer the hope? Because his own townspeople did not receive. But the next town did receive. A change of place. Because those who had the mindset of knowing his family, knowing about him, knowing the details of his life, could not receive from him. In my own experience, I've had very few that I was able to obey the Lord and have positive fruit. Very few. Because they knew of me, they knew of my family, and would not receive anything from me. That was a surprise for a while. Eventually, I got used to it. And it didn't bother me anymore. I did obey to the best of my ability. And when you obey, you're not listening to what other people are saying. You're listening to Holy Spirit and His opinion of you. His opinion of you needs to be above and beyond the reproach that you receive from those who don't want to receive from you. They cannot receive from you because there is demon activity in them, and they may not know it, but they like their demons. And if they like their demons, you need to leave it alone until God speaks. You might be able to intercede from a distance much more effectively than you would by confronting. Watch the next verse. I'm going to back it up. Verse 43. Jesus said, "Don't you know there are other places I must go and offer the hope of God's kingdom? This is what I have been sent to do." Jesus continued to travel and preach in the synagogues throughout the land. Okay. Why such a message for the Christmas season? Because you're going to be with people that you love. Okay? You're going to be able to have a ministry of intercession, maybe, depending on the circumstances, and of maybe much greater value by you being an example rather than advertising who you are or what you'd like to do. And if they come to you and they ask you to pray for their mother-in-law, that's a different story. See, the anointing came when they begged him. Have you ever begged somebody to minister to someone that you love? I have. Holy Spirit, I can't do it, but you've got to do something because I'm watching somebody being destroyed. Okay? So, is there anything wrong with it? No, because, again, in this chapter, you see very clearly what Jesus was capable of doing. So, if you could just maybe put your right hand over your heart right now. Just release a great big breath way, way down deep. Take another deep breath way down deep. Thank you, Lord. Say, today, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to be hope for the poor. Healing for the brokenhearted. New eyes for the blind. And to preach to prisoners. You are set free. I have come to share the message of Jubilee. For the time of God's great acceptance has begun. And it's going to be good for the whole year. I don't need to be concerned. What's tomorrow going to bring? But get ready to deliver a rebuke to the enemy, and he will leave. He will give them freedom because of the word coming from my inner man. The very presence of my spirit will scare the enemy. He might babble. He might tattle. But it won't bother me. I'm on a journey to spread the kingdom wherever I go. In Jesus' name, so shall it be. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Shako rabahie, alabakia mashe, orosanda rakotana mahashia, alabakia ratele kotana mahi shakiata. This word will not return void. Say it with me. This word will not return void. It will produce mighty signs and wonders as you direct me in this Jubilee. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Shababahete orobabahasata. Say, soul, listen up. Back off. You're not the controller. The controller is my spirit. Flooded by Holy Ghost. So I will do the work of spreading the word. Of the kingdom has come. Right now. In Jesus I shall do. As Daddy shows me to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shekurab.